Hello, welcome to another episode of BJ and the Battlecruiser. Not in a pub again. I'm hoping kind of towards the end of June when the President's Cup is, I'm hoping that's when we can get back to doing these like we used to in a pub with a few of us. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more enjoyable. But today I'm just going to go through TPC preview, give my picks, my analysis of the course, just a build up really from the President's viewpoint. It's I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, you know, we haven't played now for 6 months or so, and everyone's raring to go for it. We've got a 40-man field headed into Purford. You know, that includes big names. We've got a lot of debutants making their debut. I'm going to go through them later, but just really looking forward to it. I'll start with the course. Purford, they're making a lot of changes at the moment. I know a few people have played it in the last few weeks. They said it's basically a building site at the moment, and that is true. Greens, fairways, they're going to be fine. You know, just aesthetically in some places, it's maybe not going to look the most pleasing to the eye. I've heard a lot of people, you know, making their usual moany, diggy comments. And straight away, when I hear them from them types of people, I think they're not going to win because they've got the wrong mentality, you know. At the end of the day, how we should look at this is it's 40 of us, so 40-man field. You're playing with your mates. You're there to have a good time. Obviously, you want to play well. Obviously, you want to compete. Obviously, you want to do the best you can do. But let's not lose sight of what the BJ Tour is. I know we take it seriously. I know we fucking... You love to win, you love to do well. But at the end of the day, it's a golf society with your best mates. This Saturday, that's what it's going to be. I am so enthusiastic, not just for this Saturday, but for the season after that. The course, like I said, in some areas, yep, there's going to be some work going on. But it's going to be playable, you know. Would we probably have booked Purford last year if we'd known all these works would be in place to the fact, you know, to the point where... Come April, there's still a lot of works to come. Probably not, but we're here. I'm just excited to play some golf. I'm just excited to see everyone. I think it's going to be a great test. You know, obviously it's been well documented. There's water everywhere, you know, everywhere. It's going to be really testing. I think for someone like me, a high handicapper, I think if your game's not on and you're hitting wayward shots, you're going to find the water, and that is... I think after 18 holes, if you're not playing well, it's going to be draining. I've never played Purford. I've never played it. You know, from by all accounts, it's a nice layout, a nice setup. It's a different challenge. You know, we haven't played a course that's got this much water. I think it's something different. Would we want to play every BGA event on a course like Purford? No, of course we wouldn't. But it's a different challenge. It's a unique challenge, and it's something that we're looking forward to. Like I said, 40-man field, well-varied field. We've got big names, we've got veterans, we've got, you know, debutants. It's got a bit of everything, really. It's just really looking forward to it. I'm going to go through the groups individually. I'm going to give my analysis, my presidential picks. Group number one, obviously Mike Arnott, Harry Cripps, George Pearce, and Tom Winslade. It's a nice fourball. You know, you've got Arnie in there, obviously, what he done last year, 3-time BJ Tour winner. He obviously won back-to-back majors. He nearly completed the Grand Slam. He was on fire last year. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he can bring that form into 2021. It's hard to get to the top of the mountain, but then to sustain it. And, you know, obviously each event has gone since last year. He's been cut a shot. So it's going to get difficult, more difficult each time to maintain that consistency and to keep winning. Obviously in golf, it's you lose a lot more times than you win, you know. And to win 3 times in a season, it'd never been done before. It was unheard of. Do I think Arnie's going to have the season he had last year? No, but then I don't think anyone can do back-to-back seasons like that. That, you know, that would be scary consistency. I like Arnie's chances. He's playing off 9. nothing seems to faze him. I think he played perfect last week. He seemed to not mind the setup. But I think with Arnie, he's one of those that he doesn't moan. He just fucking gets on with it. I think if the majority of the field had that attitude, then they would do better than what they do, you know. I like Arnie's chances. Do I think he's going to win? I don't know. I definitely think he'll be in the top 10, though, because that's what he does. He just churns out consistent performances. If he goes back-to-back, that'd be historic. You know, that would be three major wins in his last four major starts. So Arnie's got to be going in as defending champion, and he's going to be really confident. Harry Cripps in that group. I like Cripsy's. I like Cripsy's chances, actually. I know he's been cut a few shots, just based on the consistent play that he's played, based on his handicap. Last year, he was a real surprise, and, I mean, he nearly won Rookie of the Year. I mean, if it wasn't for, I think it was George Vincent's just consistent year, he probably would have won. I mean, he had a great chance at the Masters, and he proved that on this big stage, he doesn't get fazed. He enjoys the challenge. I played with him at Purbeck. You know, he didn't seem to start too well at Purbeck, but he just never gave up. You know, I was really impressed with how he just stuck to the grind and just tried to, even when it was apparent he wouldn't win, he just wanted to get the best out of his day and finish as high as he could up the leaderboard. And I think with that attitude, I think Cripsy, you know, in 3 years' time, will look back and I think he will have won, you know, a tour event. He's got that right attitude, he's competitive. And again, I don't know what he's been playing coming in. I know he's played a couple of times. Cripsy, I like Cripsy for, you know, a top 15 finish. George Pierce in the group. Obviously, he won the playoffs 2019. He's a two-time BJ Tour winner. He's still yet to break through on the major stage. And I'm surprised that we're sat here in 2021 and he hasn't got that major win. Obviously, he came very close at, when was it? At Reigate Heath for the Invitational in 2018. You know, he had a three-shot lead after nine, and then obviously he had a nightmare back nine and kind of, I wouldn't say he threw it away, but he kind of collapsed. Always liked George's chances. You know, he's playing off 16, he's a good 16, he's consistent, he's got a great swing. Be interesting to see, you know, what George Pierce turns up. I think if he's focused, if he wants it, I think he's going to be dangerous, but we'll see. Again, wouldn't be surprised with George churning out a top 10. He's been pretty consistent the last few years. Obviously, picked up the two wins at the Travelers and in the playoffs. So, he knows what it takes to win. Obviously, not a major, but he's been there. You know, the playoffs, 2019 at Woldingham, he fought off Biffin, you know, down the stretch there. And Biffin played some good golf. And George, I can't remember what he shot, but he was red hot that day. You know, he won that tournament. And then, obviously, the last person in that group, Tom Winslade. You know, obviously, he's a new member. He's playing off 22. I think he seems to think he should be higher than that. But obviously, difficult position for myself as president with newcomers coming in that don't have official handicaps, because the last thing you want is to give someone, you know, a high handicap and they just shoot 48 points or something ridiculous. I think there'd be fucking riots. You know, my head would be on a fucking block if that happened. And, you know, we'll see with Tom. I mean, he's probably going in there. He's going to be nervous teeing off the first. I think he's just got to go in there with no expectations, just to, except to purely enjoy the day. He's obviously mates with Arnie and Cripsy. So hopefully he just goes in, he enjoys the day, enjoys the experience, and then see where he gets him. I think that's the best attitude to have. But we wish Tom all the best. We're happy he's joined. Seems a really nice guy. So looking forward to seeing not what Arnie does in the Players Championship, but throughout the year, you know, we'll be following his progress. Group two, Biffin, Dan Roberts, Lee Cousins and Joe Alloway. It's a nice fourball, this. Biffin, obviously, where do you start with his resume? Five-time BJ Tour winner, four-time major champion, one-time Players Champion back in 2013 at the massacre at Thorney Park, obviously, the infamous win. Biffin has got, in my opinion, he's got something to prove this year. I think last year he started off well. I think he had a runner-up or a third position at the TPC at Gatton Manor, and he just didn't really kick on with that. You know, it was a uncharacteristic year for Biffin last year. It was just a bit quiet. And obviously, to Biffin's high standards, he's used to winning majors. You have to set his goals, and the level that I'm judging Biffin on is a much higher level than a lot of other people, because he's been so prolific. 5-time BJ Tour winner, like I said, you know, he's arguably, well, he is the most successful golfer on tour, joint with Matt Jones. They both got 5 wins. So I've got high hopes for Biffin this year. You know, I think the PGA Tour is, when Biffin's playing well and he's up there and he's in contention, there's just a bit more buzz. You know, he gets a lot of hate off the members because it is all about Biffin. But when he's up there, when he's contending for championships, you know, there's a different energy. You know, you feel it on the ground. I'm hoping Biffin get off to a hot start this year. And you never know. I think Purford, you know, again, I like a low handicap golfer at Purford. A lot of water. Biffin can control his golf ball. It's just whether he putts well. I think Biffin, you know, he can hit his irons pretty consistent, but then sometimes he can get a bit cold with the putter. So I like Biffin. I think he'll come top 10, as he always does. But we'll see. He'll be looking to get the year off to a hot start with a dub, and looking forward to seeing his progress. Next in the group, Dan Roberts. By all accounts, he's a really nice bloke. You know, my interactions I've had with him so far, I've been impressed with what I've seen. Seems hungry. Seems like he gets the BGA ethos. Seems like he gets it. Seems like he wants it. And that's all you can ask for. These new members that come on the tour, you know, nothing fucking pisses me off more when I give people opportunity to come on a tour that so many people want to get involved in, and then they're just sometimes blasé about it. You've got to hit the ground running. You've got to want it. You've got to not just enjoy it, but just be enthusiastic, to be keen. And I think this guy, he gets it. I think he gets, obviously, the BGA Tour. It's a pressure cooker environment, you know, especially in major week. It can get quite spicy in the WhatsApp chat. A lot of abuse being hurled about, a lot of shots. Sometimes you can take a ricochet, sometimes you can get an unprovoked shot. That's BGA, and that's major season. It's there's nothing quite like it, and Dan Roberts, I think he's got the fucking minerals for it. 13 handicapper at Worplesdon, so, I mean, that's a fucking lovely track. He's obviously a solid golfer. It'd be, you know, I'm very curious to see how he does, because I think he's going to have a good year. I get whiffs of Mike Arnott in 2019 when Arnie came on the tour, and he just, I don't know, just from the get-go, Arnie just got it. And I think I kind of get the same vibe with Dan Roberts. I think he's going to have a good year. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, if he does something. He's already committed to the first two events of the year, the first two majors, the Players' Championship and the Invitational at Prince's. So he's serious. He wants it. Really excited to see Dan and how he does this year. I think he's going to have a good year. I think out of all the newcomers that are kind of coming on tour, he's my pick for someone that I think could be Rookie of the Year. So excited to see him play at Purford and see what he does. He's got a really good group, to be fair. Obviously, Lee Cousins, the banker of Byfleet. Have to give a lot of respect to Lee recently. He's last year, obviously, got swing coach Matt Jones, the great one, on board, part of his team. And I think we saw at President's Cup with Lee, just a different, I don't know, he's played better. He seems to have got a swing that's working a bit better for him than the one before. I think he can get it off the ground now. Before, his ball flight was about 10 feet in the air. So he's worked on that hard with Jonesy. He's come back. He had instant results at the President's Cup. You know, I think he was the standout player of that day in terms of score to handicap. So this is Lee's opportunity. I mean, I don't think he's been playing anything amazing in the few weeks that golf's been, you know, the lockdown's been eased. But then I don't think anyone has, because everyone's been rusty where they've not played for X amount of months. But Lee is a member at Purford. I mean, he's a recent member, so I don't know if he's going to have loads of course knowledge. But he's played it a few times, and I think Lee off 22, I think he can do something. I think he's going to get a top 15. And we'll see, you know. I know he takes it seriously. I know he wants to perform. So, interested to see how Lee does. Also, completing that four ball, Joe Alloway. Playoffs champion, obviously. He kind of took the world and the tour by storm last year when he won the playoffs. I don't think anyone picked Joe Alloway. You know, he wasn't even in the top 12. He only made it because I think he was 15th on the list and a few players couldn't make it and he was next available. But he took his opportunity with both hands. You know, he won against a good field, you know, some big players, Biffy and Craig O'Shea. They're all playing at Sutton Green at the playoffs, and he won. And he, down the stretch, obviously I wasn't playing, but I was there for the content and I was following that group. Obviously, as you could see, Joe was in the lead. He looked like he was going to win. And I was very impressed with how he dealt with himself under the pressure. I don't know Joe that well, but he seems to be someone that doesn't really take himself too seriously. He's very laid back, it comes across as. And I really think he's going to... I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a major this year. I wouldn't be. I mean, I just got a feeling, you know. A bit like George Pierce, when he won the playoffs, I kind of felt like, right, okay, he's going to kick on now and win a major and kind of take that next step and trend a bit more in the direction he wants to go in. But be interesting to see. I think Joe off 21 is dangerous. So looking forward to seeing how he does. Group three, Adam Hunt, James Mumford, Danny Slade and Richard Smith, a.k.a. Dickie Smith. Nice fourball this. Obviously, you've got Adam going for the career Grand Slam. I mean, he's not got a good players' championship record, it has to be said. And the last 2 years, you know, he's come tied 20th both years, really, around then. So he's not... It's not been a tournament that he's really had many chances to win. So it'll be interesting. I mean, he's got the pressure of going for the career Grand Slam. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. Do I think he's got a good chance? I mean, I don't know. I think he obviously played last weekend and he massive upset where he lost to Dave Casido in the World Match Play. And you don't know how much that's going to be wearing on him, how much that's going to have affected him to have lost to Bogota's favourite son. That was, you know, that was just an unbelievable result. How much has that affected him going into Purfitt? You know, if he'd have won against Dave Casillo in a close game, he would have taken that momentum. He would have been going into Purfitt oozing with confidence. But it's not, it's the opposite. So Adam's got a point to prove this Saturday, because, you know, losing to Dave, that's humbling, you know. But maybe that's what he needs. That's a kick up the arse that he needs, maybe. James Mumford, two-time Invitational champion, is back. You know, he's kind of had a couple of years away. He's obviously some personal stuff, getting his house sorted. So we're happy to have James back. Obviously, he's a two-time Invitational champion. He's a very good friend of mine. Couldn't meet a nicer bloke than Mummers. Except he did moan about his handicap. He was trying to get his handicap higher, so, you know, I hate to see that. I literally hate that. Do I have any expectations for Mumford? Not particularly, no. And I'm not being rude, but he hasn't played enough. You know, to his handicap, 26. I think he can get a top 25. Do I think he's going to win? No. I think he needs to get some more rounds under his belt. He needs to see activity. I think it's a big ask, and I think he's probably aware of that. He's probably just happy to be there. You know, he's in a good group. Obviously, he knows Adam. Dick Smith, obviously, he had a good year last year. You know, I think a lot of people don't really know him, or people didn't really expect anything from him, and then he proved everyone wrong. He made the playoffs. I think he had a top 10 at the Players' Championship at Gatton Manor. I mean, he had quite a harsh handicap cut. Not by me, but his club, Woldingham, have given him a 15 handicap, which, personally, I think it's a bit harsh. I mean, but that's what they've given him, so that's what we have to take it as. I think Dick's going to be struggling, if I'm going to be honest. Just 15 handicap, that's... And he was playing off 22 last year, and I was quite comfortable with that. I thought that was about his ability. So I hope he can play well. You never know. I've not played with him for 6 months. He might have made some improvements, some strides in the right direction. So, you know, looking forward to seeing how he does. But I'm not expecting too much from him. Danny Slade, you know, he had a bit of a weird year last year. But then, as to be expected, I mean, he had such a good year in 2018. And then 2019, he was consistent still. But last year, obviously, I don't think he was playing that great at golf at the start of the year. I don't think he had a poor Players' Championship. He had a poor Masters. He then opted not to play at Isle of Purbeck because he didn't feel like his game was in the right shape, which was a big call. But I think, maybe you have got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be real and say, well, it's not there to contend in a major championship. And I think Danny realised that, went away, worked at his game. You know, he had a son last year. He had a big year. It was a big life-changing year. And maybe going into this year, you know, he's just moved into his new house. His son is a little bit older now. Maybe his focus, a tiny bit more of it, will be on golf again. And then he can have the year that we know he can have. You know, the type of year he had in 2018 when he won the Masters at Matt's Place. Interesting to see how Danny does. I always fancy Danny's chances. He's very competitive. He wants to win. I think if he's got a sniff there on Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if he won. I'm backing Danny for a top 20 at least. And if he had a bit of a better year last year, I probably would have said, yeah, top 10. But he'll come top 20. Right, moving on to group four, the feature group. We've got Matt Jones, Jack Wicks, Will Berry, the Hustler, and then Jack Futrell, a.k.a. the Rat. I'm just looking at a graphic of this group, and I've just zoomed in on Jack's face, and he literally looks like a fucking rat. His nose is pointy. I mean, his teeth. It's just, you know, very rat-like features everywhere, really. I can see where the nickname the Rat comes from just by looking at his photo. I mean, he's got glasses on in the photo, but you can still tell behind it he's a fucking rat. So anyway, Matt Jones, the great one, greatest to ever do it, you know. Just where do we start with Matt Jones? I think I could do a whole podcast just going through his resume, his records. Come across a great record the other day, which I didn't realise, and I was just doing some content, just doing the numbers. Matt Jones holds the record for lowest gross score in all three PGA Tour majors. 65 at the Invitational, 68 at the Players' Championship, 68 at the Masters. Do you know what I mean? He's the great one. You know, where do you start with him? He had a solid year last year, made the semis of the World Match Play. I think he had a runner-up did he come second or third in the Masters? He done well at Matt's Place. Jonesy, I always like Jonesy's chances. Of course he's going to get a top five. Is he going to win? I wouldn't be surprised. I like Jonesy's chances more at Prince's for the Invitational 3 weeks later. You know, I just think I think he wins the Invitational at Prince's. I'd be shocked if he doesn't, just because of how hard it's going to be. But anyway, that's a conversation for a later podcast. Matt Jones, he's going to get a top five. He's playing them PXG irons. You see his swing, you know, his slow rhythmic swing. Everything about that Matt Jones does is class personified. His golf game, the way he carries himself, you know, he's a fucking good bloke, Jonesy, and he's the greatest golfer I've ever seen in my life. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins his sixth PGA Tour title, which would be his fifth major this Saturday. But obviously what he's got going against him, he's a professional. He's a PGA professional. He plays off scratch. You know, he could go out and shoot 2-3 under, and then some 18 handicapper might shoot 40-odd points. And then it's difficult, you know. But Jones is going to get a top five. Moving on to Jack Wicks in that group. Obviously, two-time Players' Champion. Don't really know what his golf game is doing. He had an alright year last year, you know. He hasn't threatened since 2017. Well, 2018, he had the year where he kind of dumped the balls in the water on the 18th and fucked that one up. And then he's not been the same golfer or the same man since then, in my opinion. But you'd have to ask Wixie, really, what in terms of his golf game, because I haven't spoke to him for about a year. So, you know, Wixie's a two-time champion. He knows how to win. Is he going to win Saturday? I don't know. I think he played all right the other week at Burr Hill. He's a member of, I saw on VPAR. You know, on Wix's day, he can go around a golf course in 12, 13 over. He's a 17 handicapper. So he's got that in him, and I've seen him. But then when he's not good, he's fucking terrible. He can't hit it off the ground. He has to find more consistency, in my opinion, to challenge. I don't think he's going to win. I think he'll sneak a top 25. Will Berry, 2018 Players Champion. I mean, you know, he won in such dramatic style back in 2018. But the thing with Hustler is all I've heard from him is he's not playing well, that he's shit. There's no confidence there. So if he's not got confidence in himself, why the fuck am I going to pick him? Why am I going to back him? I'm not. The man says it himself. He's not been playing well. So I think he's going to struggle. Do I want to say that? No. Because, you know, a happy Willsy is better than a nasty one that's coming out when he's not playing well. I don't know. I think he's going to get a tied 30th or something like that, or a top. I don't. Like I said, if you've not got confidence in your golf game, I mean, golf's such a mental thing. We'll see. There's a lot of water, so, you know, if you're off your game, you're going to get exposed Saturday. And I think, going by what Hostler said, I think he's going to get exposed. You know, I think the stickers are getting to him. I think he's not liking it. He's, you know, he's bit at me a couple of times with some nasty remarks, especially towards Frank. So mentally, I don't think he's ready to win again. I think he's got to find himself before he wins again. Rat, fourth man in that group. I mean, whatever you want to say about Jack Futterall, yes, he looks like a rat. Yes, he's up there for one of the most annoying men that I've ever met on his day. But, I mean, his pedigree is proven. You know, his pedigree is proven. He is, you know, he won in 2019 and he was sensational at Fox Hills. He really was. He beat a star-studded field. And, I mean, you know, he's got a good record in the last few years. I think he had a top 10 defending last year. We're going to see. Obviously, I don't think he's played a lot. I don't think he's going to be his sharpest that he's going to have, his game. But it'd be interesting. I like Rat for a top 15. I think he's consistent. You know, what's he playing off, 21 or something like that? He's good for that. You know, he went round in Fox Hills that round. That was a special round, really. He won by, what, 4 shots, was it? I like Rat for a top 15. I like, he's a consistent player for his handicap, and I think he's going to do well on Saturday. Group 5, Joel Pope, Nick Smith, Josh Heather, and Charlie Pierce. Joel Pope, obviously, had an amazing year in 2019. Amazing year. Won once. Was on top of the world, really. Won the Player of the Year. Won the Order of Merit. And then last year, as it so often is, you know, to follow a really good season, it's just hard. It is just hard. I mean, look at, you know, Danny Slade 2018, 2019. He wasn't as sharp. Biffin 2019 had a great year. 2020 wasn't as sharp. I don't know with Joel. I mean, spoke to him yesterday. He said he's not really hitting the ball that well off the tee, but his short game's good. If he can, you know, if he can find the fairway, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Joel. If he can find the fairway, he's going to score well because he's, from his account, he's chipping, he's putting well. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. I always like Joel's chances. I think he's going to have a top 10. And he could, you know, he could contend. Wouldn't surprise me. Major champion. He knows what it takes. Nick Smith, he's a new commodity on tour. Don't know. I think his golf game, he's a 15 handicapper. So obviously he's not terrible. Interesting to see how Nick's going to do. He seems really keen. He's a good bloke. Known from school days. Very enthusiastic. I think he lives up north now in some Wigan or some shithole like that. So he's, you know, enthusiastic. You know, that's what I want to see. You know, if you're fucking living in Wigan, for fuck's sake, and you're prepared to drive all the way down to compete in a PGA Tour, that's what I want to see. That's activity. That's enthusiasm. That's, for me, that's perfect. So he's keen. I like his chances, actually. But, you know, from what people have told me, spoke to George Vincent, his very close friend, you know, he kind of told me what his golf game's like. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a solid showing. Yeah, I like him for a top 20, for sure. CJP, Charlie Pierce. He's been knocking on the door, really, for like the last few years. You know, he seems to have these really super low rounds in the lead up to majors, and then he just doesn't seem to do it on the biggest stage. I think the 2019 Invitational, you know, he was leading by nine. I can't remember what the score was, but it was something silly that he posted for the front nine, and then I wouldn't say he faded, because I think he shot five under his handicap. Biffin was just on a different fucking planet that day, you know, just smashed everyone. But this is the year Charlie has to step up from a consistent player that everyone talks about as a future contender. He's got to contend this year, because if he doesn't contend, then he's always going to be this player that's just there or thereabouts, but not taking the next level. Charlie Pierce has to win something this year. He does, because he's been threatening, he's been knocking on the door, his game's been trending in the right direction, his handicap's been getting lower. Everything else seems to be stepping in the right direction, but the only thing he's missing, the W. Do I think he gets it at Purford? I wouldn't be surprised. But it's time he does it now, this year. This year he has to win. Josh Heather, actually, the last player in that group, who... he's in the same category as Charlie, in my opinion. Squid had a good year last year, you know. I think he had a couple of top three finishes. He'd done well at the playoffs. I think he'd done well at the TPC. I think he came third. But he's in that category that Charlie Pierce is in. You've got to step up now. You know, you've contended, you've knocked on the door, you've threatened. Well, guess what? You've got to take the next fucking step now. Because if you don't this year, the longer it goes, the more years stack up, it's going to get more difficult. The fucking PGA Tour now, I know everyone gives me shit that when I won the 2013 Invitational, it was a field of 14. Well, yeah, you're right. It was a field of 14. Well, guess what now? The TPC this Saturday is a field of 40, 4-0. So winning is getting more and more difficult. Right? So, you know, it's never been as difficult as it is now to win on tour. The players, Charlie Pierce, Josh Heather, these types of players that are in that category, now's your fucking time. You've got to step up this year. Otherwise, I can just see it going year and year and then them still being zero Ws. Group six, myself, Charlie Hinchliff, Andrew Chapman, Rob Sheridan. I'll start with Rob. The funny thing is with Rob, he played in the 2003 Invitational. He played in the inaugural championship at Thames Ditton. I've known Rob for however many years. You know, he's kind of played a few years, then he's went away. I think he last played in 2017. I think he played in the Masters that Joe Parris won at Stockley Park. And then he had a few years where he hasn't played. Or he might have played 2018 Invitational at Reigate Heath. But anyway, it's been about 3 years, three and a bit years. So it's nice to have Rob back. He's one of my oldest mates. His golf game seems to have improved. He's got his handicap down. So interesting to see what he does. He usually only carries about three clubs in his bag. And I'm not even exaggerating. So it's going to be interesting to see Perth's not overly long. But it's going to be interesting to see what he turns up with in terms of a bag. I don't know what you're going to expect from Rob. So it's hard to give an opinion or a pick or say what he's going to do when you've got no fucking clue. He's a 16 handicap. Do I think he's going to win? No. But we'll see. Charlie Hinchliff makes his debut. Played cricket with Charlie for years. He's a great, great young lad. Very sexual. Just looking at his photo now. Very cheeky. But... again, I think he's new to the game of golf. He's been playing for about 1 to 2 years. It's a big stage for him. PGA Tour, you know, you're not playing your little fucking shithouse Stableford at your Brighton uni fucking golf societies. This is the big leagues. This is the big dogs now, you know. PGA Tour, excited to see what he does. I don't think he's one that really gets phased with pressure. Or I think he's going to do well. I think he's going to have a top 20. I think he's going to do well. But we'll see. Chappie from Zimbabwe. 16 handicap. I think Chappie could surprise a few people. Again, I don't really know his golf game. I only know his handicap. So we welcome him to the tour as well as Che. And I'm looking forward to our fourball. I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to have some good laughs. And that's what it's about. Group 7. My dad, John Bradley, Clive Kennedy and Dan Peel. I mean, my dad he's 66 this year. He might be... Is he 66 already? 55. No, he's 66 this year. I mean, time's fucking getting on, you know. He had, 2016, 2017, he had a couple of great years. 2017, obviously, he won twice. He won the playoffs, he won Travelers. And I think that was his opportunity to win a major. 2018, he fucked up the Players' Championship, as did about five people that day at Silvermere. So he's had chances to win. And I don't know. I mean, he loves golf more than anything. I know he's playing a lot. You can't say he's going to be underprepared. Is he playing his best golf going into a major? No, going by his scores on VPAR that I've been looking at. But I like him for a top 10. I always think my dad, he's a very consistent player. He doesn't hit the ball far, but what you're going to get with him is accuracy, consistency. If he can putt well, which sometimes can be a bit yippy, he's going to have a top 10. John Bradley, he's a solid golfer, plays off 9, made his debut last year. Very nice guy. You know, a lot of the members liked him. Interesting to see how John does. He didn't really do much last year, but then he's playing off quite a low handicap. So, interesting to see what he does. Do I think he's going to win? No. Clive Kennedy, again, complete unknown from Zimbabwe as well, as is Dan Peel, who completes that four ball. Dan Peel hits it fucking miles. I don't think I've seen... But to be fair, he's probably the longest I've ever seen. I played with him at the Masters in 2019. He hits the ball, his driver, fucking miles. The problem is, it's when he gets near the green. That's where he has shots that cost him, is round the green. Long game is good. Short game, from what I played with him, it needs work. Clive Kennedy, he's playing off 8. Seems a nice guy, but again, I can't comment. I don't know his golf game. Seems a good guy. Paid straight away. Apparently, he's got a bit of wedge, and that's what we want on tour. Group 8, Matt Edmonds, the vice president, James Hunt, Dan Hooker, Ben Cawthorn. This group, obviously, you've got Edmonds, vice president, you've got James Hunt, you've got Dan Hooker. It's a nice mix. It's a nice variation, really, this group. Edmonds has been there so many times, you know, 3 runners up in Players' Championships. You know, it's amazing that we're in 2021 and Edmonds still hasn't won a BJ Tour event or a major. He's knocked on the door so many times. Is this the year? I don't know. Like I said earlier, it's getting so fucking hard now to win. It really is. So, do I think Edmonds is going to win? No, I don't, unfortunately. I think he's another one. He just seems negative about his game. You know, his handicap's gone up by 4 shots in the last few years, and that fairly gone up. You know, but he doesn't seem confident. He just doesn't seem, you know, like he's in the right mental space to compete on Saturday. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I'm being too harsh on him, but it's just going off what he's kind of said and what he's communicated. He doesn't seem like he's up for it anymore. Maybe the years of the close calls, the heartbreaks, you know, after a while that does take its fucking toll. That does chip away at you. Maybe he's got to the point where he just wants to turn up, enjoy the day, but, you know, and if he plays well and he contends, it's an added bonus. James Hunt, you know, he's had a couple of solid years, you know, without doing anything special. He did try beat me up at last year's Masters when I called him out for not holding a putt and said he couldn't put it down and had to blob him. He did square up to me. So it's kind of hard not to say this analysis without having some type of bias towards that. James Hunt, is he going to win? No. But good luck to him. Dan Hooker. I mean, Dan Hooker is another one. He nearly won the 2017 Players' Championship at Richens Park. You know, he was doing well up to the 17th, and then he hit a few in the water. Jack Wicks ultimately won that in the end. Hooker, the diamond, you know, he'll be wearing two diamond studs in each year to symbolise his nickname. He's coming off an impressive victory over Joe Alloway in the World Match Play last Saturday. So Hooker's got to be confident. He's down to 18 now, but he's a competent 18. I like Hooker to churn out a top 20. You know, he's consistent. He won't give up. He's not someone that really has a nightmare and he's going to fucking give up and come last or withdraw. He seems quite level-headed. I like his chances for a top 20. Ben Cawthorn to complete that four ball. I mean, Cawthorn, again, he's another one. So much negativity has come from Cawthorn. I think he played the other day and he had about three... He played for 10 holes and I think he had something stupid like 7 points. So he's obviously not playing. It's such a weird one with Ben because... You know, 2016, he won the Masters. 2018, he won the playoffs. And he's always been playing around about 18, 19, 20 handicap. And when I played with him in that era, he was a good 8, he was a good 20 handicap. You know, I generally felt he would always be up there. He'd always have a top 10 or a top 5. And it's so weird, like 2019, 2020, it's just like something's missing bad in his game. I don't know what it is. He chops and changes his golf clubs a lot. He seems to be buying a new set of golf clubs on finance every 6 months. I don't know. I think he's got a... I don't know. Maybe he needs to go see Jonesy. Maybe he needs to get the great one to have a look at him. You know, get the track man out. I don't know, because he's got to find a process that works. And then he's got to work towards it. When you're chopping and changing and just trying new things every 2 or 3 months, trying new clubs, which it seems what Ben's doing. I mean, are you ever going to... improve? If I don't know, I'm not a good golfer. I'm not someone that is. I don't know. I think he needs to see Jonesy. I think he needs to get in the lab with Jonesy and just go back to basics. I mean, Ben is a four-time BGA Tour winner, two-time major champion. I said it in a BGA post the other week. He is, in my opinion, he's got one of the most underrated careers on tour. Really, four wins, you know. Two majors, but you don't really think of Ben in the same group as someone like, I don't know, Biffin, who's got 5 wins. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just recency bias, because Cawthorn's had a tough couple of years, and heading into the Players this Saturday, it doesn't seem like he's playing well at all. I don't know with Ben. I mean, when he's playing well, it's better for the tour. I mean, he's such a big character, you know. I don't want to see someone struggling to the point where they're hating it so much. I think he's got to get back to basics. And I think he'll work it out. I mean, you don't win 4 times on tour. You know, you've got to have some type of metal and some type of, I don't know, willpower to just keep going. And I think he will. I think he'll work it out. I don't think he's going to work it out by this Saturday. I think he's going to have a tough time, unfortunately. But I hope he proves me wrong. Group 9 is Craig Martin, Joe Parris, Brett Felser, and Ollie Phipps. Craig Martin obviously won the Travellers back in 2019, which seems about 10 years ago now, because that was before all this COVID fucking shit. Craig Martin, I mean, he's a BGA Tour winner, but he's just not seemed to have done anything besides that. I don't think, from his correspondence in the WhatsApp group, I don't think he's played since last year. So I haven't got high hopes for him. I mean, he's obviously coming fresh off Rangers 55th league win. He's going to be buzzing on that. And maybe he can use that momentum from the Huns year to push forward and take that into his golf game. I'm not sure. I mean, kind of glad Johnny Codd's not playing this event, because I think it could get quite personal between them. You know, the Rangers-Celtic rivalry, it does spill over into their relationship sometimes. And I think it's a good thing Johnny Codd, who's a diehard Celtic fan, won't be there Saturday, because there's rumours that Craig is wearing Rangers blue to celebrate their league win. So, looking forward to seeing Craig, but he hasn't got a fucking chance in hell. Joe Parris, You know, Joe seems to be playing some solid golf, but then he obviously last Saturday he played his world match play game against Zach Johnson. You have to say Joe Parris was a heavy favourite against Zach. Zach doesn't play a lot at all. I think he just plays the BGA events. And Joe seems to be playing a lot. He's 20 handicap. I had high hopes. I thought he was going to beat Zach, and he didn't. You know, he led the whole game, and then he let Zach get back into it, and then Zach won in extra holes. His momentum, his confidence, naturally, you know, naturally, it's going to be dented. So, I don't know with Joe. I think I have a top 15, but you never know. He might churn out 38, 39 points, and it might be good enough. But, yeah, we'll see. Brett Folzer, he seems like he's playing some good golf. Shot 36 points. I think it was at Purford as well. So, do I think 36 is going to win it? Probably not. But I think 36 is definitely going to get you a top five. I think so anyway. I might be wrong. Brett, again, I think his first year, he had a couple of good starts. But he's not really... I mean, actually, no, that's unfair. Last year, he made the semi-finals of the World Match Play. So, hopefully he can take that form, that momentum, that confidence into this year. And it'd be nice to see Brett, you know, threaten. He's obviously got a kid on the way. So congrats to him. Look forward to seeing him Saturday. But do I think he's going to win the Players' Championship? No. Phipsy, Ollie Phipps. Where do you start with Phipsy? I mean, you know, 2 years ago, he was fucking dog shit. And I think he'll admit that. He will. He was weakest player on tour, I would say, by some distance. Well, guess what? He's worked hard at his game. He's practiced. He's grinded. And now he's down to, you know, low 20 handicap. Testament to his hard work. You know, he threatened at last year's TPC. I think it's going to be hard for him this Saturday. But who knows? He seems very... he's very determined, Phipsy. And I think he's going to surprise a few people this year. I think he's going to have a consistent year like he had last year. The last group is Adam London, Zach Johnson, Chris Rooney and George Vincent. I mean, it's a nice four-ball. You know, you've got Rooney, so that's WAF. George Vincent, former world number one. Had a great year last year, just so consistent, you know. He's got to be confident. I like George's chances. I really like George's chances off 18. I think he's got a really good chance. If he can, you know, 39, 40 points, I think he's got that in his bag. I really do. Watched him at the playoffs last year and just a very consistent golf swing, really, for a mid-handicapper. I like George Vincent. If I had to pick five people, he would be right up there with who I think is going to win this Saturday. Chris Rooney, what a few years, you know, he's battled vertigo. He's had so many operations, it seemed. It seems like he's healthy now and his body's in a position that he can play the golf that he's capable of. You know, he's a 10 handicap, so he's a fairly solid golfer. Do I think he's got it for 18 holes? I don't. I played with him at the World Match Play last year, and I mean, he started hot. I think I was three down through four. But then as the day went on, he kind of faded, you know, and I nearly got him in the end. He only won one up. So, but that's the BJ Tour. You've got to go for 18 holes. You know, the major championship environment. I just think stamina-wise, I don't know. I think he's not going to have it for 18 holes, and that's my only concern with Rooney. I think he'll have, you know, top 25, top 30, but we'll see. I think Rooney, like COD last year, I think Rooney would be a very popular winner because, you know, he's a fucking character. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. Zach, coming fresh off his win last Saturday against Joe Parris, he's going to be confident. He's a 28 handicap, but on his day, you know, he had a good 2019 invitation. We threatened. He was up there and he kind of faded. And I think you might see that this Saturday. You know, he'll start well, but then he'll fade a bit. Zach's, you know, look at his resume. Look at his career. He's not done it. And he's been playing on tour for a while. So for him to win this Saturday would be a massive upset. But he's a good bloke, so it'd be a popular win. But it'd be a surprise win. Last in that group, Adam London. To conclude the groups. Yeah, Adam London... He's another one. He's, you know, he's been sending me a lot of messages. Coach is what his nickname. He's London. Where do you start with him? He's such obviously a natural sportsman with obviously his cricket and his golf. when you play with him, you can see, like, you know, if he catches one out in the middle, his hand-eye coordination is spot on. But you got, again, you've got to do it for 18 major championship holes. It's he's talking a good game. He's, you know, he seems up for it. It's just, I'd be surprised if London obviously wins or he contends. He's just never been in that environment. And I think now with VPAR and live leaderboards, it's fucking, it's intense, you know, especially if you know you've got a chance of winning. And it's just like, how would he react? How would he cope with that in that situation? I'm not sure. I'm not sure because he's not been tested. So I don't expect Adam to win Saturday. So that's the groups. Let's just check. Got a question from Charlie Hinchliffe, listener of the pod, who said, who's the best performing hog going to be? Which is a good question. Thanks, Charlie, for your question. I think it's going to be Dan Peel. I think he's going to play solid golf. I think he's going to surprise people. He hits the ball a fucking mile. It's just where he can keep the ball under control. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's all the groups. Sorry it's taken so fucking long. It's because we've got 10 groups. We've got 40 players. It's the BGA Tour. It's the Players' Championship. It's this Saturday. 11 a.m. meet at Purford for the breakfast. 12:04, first tee off. Can't tell you how excited I am for this Saturday. So many storylines going in. So many possibilities. You know, it's, the course isn't going to be in the most amazing condition aesthetically. You know, it's going to look on some holes, what the fuck's that JCB doing there? It doesn't matter. Fairways green's going to be good. 40 players, it's all the same for everyone. I can't tell you how excited I am. Can't say thanks enough for the members and the support of the first event. You know, we got 40. It's going to be a great day. It really is. That's the President's Preview, President's Picks. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you this Saturday. Shit.